Cadbury Schweppes is losing its fizz.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The company behind 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Snapple says it's likely to sell the U.S. unit that makes those soft drinks, and it'll shed thousands of workers in a major cost-cutting move. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
Cadbury is cutting 7,500 jobs. That's 15% of its workforce. The company is under pressure after profits fell sharply last year. Cadbury, the world's biggest candy maker, is also planning to shed its soft drinks unit. The Schweppes Group, which produces, among other things, Dr. Pepper and 7-Up, will likely be sold to a private equity firm. Blackstone and the Texas Pacific Group, amongst others, are reported to be interested. The company could fetch up to $16 billion. Cadbury, meanwhile, will concentrate on candy. It's already moved into the chewing gum business and believes it can give the American firm Wrigley a run for its money. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We told you here yesterday about Boeing's dominance in the market for jetliners. Word today, the company can expect to sell a big order to Delta Airlines, which has big plans to expand. Now it's emerged from bankruptcy protection. The Wall Street Journal reports the carrier is expecting to order as many as 125 of Boeing's new 787 jetliners before the year is out. Stock market remains nervous over oil prices and interest rates. Oil is selling for just under $72 a barrel in London today, and that's likely to keep weighing on Wall Street. The Dow sank 26 points yesterday, around 0.2%. The Nasdaq closed flat, while the S&P 500 lost around 0.1%. Most experts are expecting the number of new housing starts in May will show a further decline. The numbers are due out later today. At the same time, they're optimistic building permits, which point to future activity, will show a gain. In a couple of weeks, customers at New York City fast food chains will find something a little different on the menu. Calorie counts displayed in type that's as large as a menu item. It's all part of a new rule from the city's Board of Health that takes effect July 1st. It's intended to make New Yorkers healthier, but not everyone's convinced the law will have the desired effect. Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us about a lawsuit the city's facing.
The new rule applies to any restaurant with a standardized menu that was already providing calorie counts to its customers. In practice, that means mostly fast food outlets, or about 10% of the city's eateries. The New York State Restaurant Association is filing suit against the city, arguing that the rule will unfairly punish those places which were already trying to keep the public informed. Rick Sampson heads the association. He says it'll be just too expensive to comply because every time a menu changes, the restaurant will have to pay for an analysis of the new dish. And he worries that the rule will eventually be expanded to include all eating establishments in the city.
To have your food analyzed, you're looking about $600 for each item that you have. You have some restaurants out there with 120, 130 different menu items.
New York says it just wants restaurants to make it easier to find information that's already publicly available. The city has until the end of the week to respond to the lawsuit. The two sides go to court late next week. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
You might call this your oil dollars at work. The latest purchase by the government of Dubai is the Queen Elizabeth II. $100 million for the little boat. They plan to use it as a floating hotel and museum. The QE2 will be parked off the coast of one of the artificial islands Dubai is building. Since its launch in 1967, the Queen Elizabeth II has sailed more than 5 million miles.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
How's this for a vacation destination? A squatter settlement in India's commercial capital, Mumbai. It's often called the biggest slum in Asia. Around 1 million people live and work there, amid sewage and industrial waste. Now the slum has another claim to fame. As Miranda Kennedy tells us, it's the hub for poorism, India's newest tourist trend.
So we don't stop everywhere. If you'll see something interesting, just let me know. I will explain about it.
Krishna Pujari is a reality tour guide. He's prepping a group of MBA students from the University of Washington who are on a two-week trip to India. They've paid $7 a head for a three-hour tour into India's urban slums.
Hello.
United States. America.
Krishna also tells his group to dress modestly and wear covered shoes because they'll be stepping over raw sewage. Just minutes into the tour, student Michael Fuller says nothing could have prepared him for the sight, sounds, and smells of the slum.
You know, you get to a point where you kind of feel like a little overwhelmed. There's so many people and this organization, and it's hard to believe that things are actually functioning and working in this kind of a environment.
Things do function here. Thousands of small factories churn out everything from leather to pottery in Dharavi's alleyways and generate some $600 million of profit a year. Chris Way started the tour business about a year ago to show the slum's industriousness to tourists.
We show how enterprising and hardworking the people are despite the poverty, as opposed to focusing on the poverty.
The MBA students stop at a dimly lit warehouse where grease-stained laborers toil over massive oil drums.
Krishna, are these guys clean? What are they doing with the barrels? Cleaning?
Woody Moore, another student in the group, points out that not a single worker is wearing protective gear. He's amazed at the lack of regulation.
It's terrible because it's an entire reality. You know, they go to bed and wake up in the same spot.
It's a reality that plenty of Indians don't want foreigners to see. Chris has gotten used to defending himself against accusations that he's profiting from voyeurism.
I think it's easy to say, oh, these rich Westerners come here and stare at these poor people and feel great about themselves. But anyway, I don't think people wanting to understand is such a bad thing.
He's quick to tell his critics that they give 80% of their profits back to the slum. That is, they plan to, if selling slum tours ever actually turns a profit. In Mumbai, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Appreciate you joining us this morning. We're always interested in your thoughts. Just go to marketplace.org and click on Contact.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.